Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul is obviously such a pivotal character in the history of the Christian church, a larger-than-life character. We can't even imagine what the Christian church might have been like without his letters, without his missionary work to the Gentiles in that first generation. The Christian faith, as understood by Luther and the Lutheran confessors since him, is not even possible without Paul. Romans, the 2 Corinthian letters, Galatians, and others reveal Jesus and the gospel to us in a cruciform way, that is, focused on Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead for us. We rightly hold up Paul in such high esteem, especially for writing 13 of the 27 letters, 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament, and being a central character in Luke's second book, the Acts of the Apostles. Our text today is the last few sentences of Paul writing to Timothy and writing to the Church of Christ. We thank Luke, the evangelist, not just for his writings, but for apparently being one of the very last brothers to visit Paul in prison, and for, in all likelihood, being the one who carried this letter out of prison and sent it to Timothy and to us. These words are poignant, and they reveal the humility and the faith in Jesus that our father Paul was clinging to in the last days of his earthly life. I like watching various movie portrayals of biblical stories or serials like The Chosen. If you've never seen the 2018 movie of Paul the Apostle of Christ, I commend it to you. The movie starts with Luke entering into Rome during the time of Nero, when Christians are being persecuted and martyred, even used as human torches to light the nighttime streets. Ironically, the actor who is portraying Luke in this movie is Jim Caviezel, who portrayed Jesus in Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. The Paul movie then moves to Luke seeking out the hidden Christian community in Rome, and then Luke gaining access to an imprisoned Paul, just as our text says. And then, according to the movie, he begins interviewing Paul so that he could share even more of Paul's cruciform teachings with Christ's persecuted church. Paul is languishing there in prison during this time that he would have written 2 Timothy. But in the movie, he's also sharing the story of Jesus with the guards, the Roman guards who are guarding him. I do wish the movie had focused better on Christ's cross and resurrection, but the rest of the movie actually helped me consider what Paul was going through in those last days. From my psychology background, I especially appreciated the portrayal that Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been PTSD. That is, Paul in the movie is having flashbacks, shame-filled nightmares to the times that he persecuted Christ's church before he became a Christian. Obviously, we don't actually know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but PTSD is a plausible and tormenting option. I won't spoil any more of the movie for you, but it's not like you don't know how the movie ends. Paul is awaiting martyrdom here in our text, his execution. He writes, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing." Both his first appearing and his next appearing. Paul goes on to say, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Ever since that day that Jesus Christ appeared to Paul and knocked him down on the road to Damascus, Paul has been learning and declaring to others the sound doctrine, the life-giving teaching of Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected, for Paul and for those who he spoke to and for us. Paul had put on Christ's death and resurrection in his own baptism, and then God chose Paul to teach the sound doctrine to millions of others of us for the past 2,000 years. President Emeritus Dale Meyer has stood in this pulpit many times in the last decade and talked about how he gets older, the life narrows down, that the extraneous aspects of life become less and less important, and Jesus becomes more and more of a focus. If you happen to speak to any of the alumni that were here last week, especially those who graduated 50 or 60 or 65 years ago, they would probably have said some very similar things to you as well. Many of you are studying, desiring to become pastors and deaconesses of Christ Church. In your future roles, you will be called upon to make visits to aging parishioners, parishioners who are homebound or living in their children's home, being cared for them by them, or living in a nursing facility. Many of them will know that it is their last years, maybe even their last months or weeks. You will visit them to bring them God's word and to strengthen them in faith toward Him. But I think you'll find, in the majority of cases, your visit to them will be one that strengthens your faith as they tell you how life has narrowed down for them and Jesus is standing there in that narrow spot. Even those who have dementia, who don't remember you or your last visit, or maybe even their own kids, will surprise you with their faith when you start saying the Lord's Prayer out loud and they start saying the Lord's Prayer along with you. For Paul, life is narrowing down, and he is being poured out like a drink offering as a sacrifice for the sake of Christ's sacrifice. He wants Timothy to continue preaching that message of Jesus after he is gone, and Paul knows that he will receive that crown of righteousness, not because he's been some successful preacher or apostle, but because his Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, gave his life as a ransom for Paul. The good news for you and for me is that this same righteous judge, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life as a ransom for us and will give us that same crown of righteousness for all who love his appearing and to all who are watching faithfully for his next appearing on that last day. To him be the glory forever and ever. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. We stand for the Kyrie.